preaching and all of us be able to understand what's being said too. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those that are here tonight and have come in again on this Wednesday night to worship you. And Father, we're thankful for these people, Lord, and have come out this evening to worship you. And we're just so thankful, Lord, to be able to sing again. And just so thankful to see people coming back. And we're just so thankful for you. Thank you for this church that you've given us, Lord, that we pray that you'd bless it in a mighty way and continue to keep us where we should be. And Father, we have people that are sick and people that are dying in our services, and we pray for them. They come to church here, and Lord, it's just a hard time for folks. And please help them, Lord, in a mighty way, and those that are sick and the families that are also dealing with them. And Lord, we pray that for salvation of sinners, we pray for those that maybe have drifted off a bit and still not back. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to them about that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. But Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to work down to it verse by verse. It seems like I've been in Galatians for 6,000 years because he just kept getting interrupted. And then I'd do something else for a bit. But in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he addresses the Galatians. And here's the title, O Foolish Galatians. Now, you're in bad shape whenever the preacher says, O Foolish Galatians. And that's, of course, this was written by the Apostle Paul. I don't know how, there at the very least was two Galatian churches, I'd say. But it don't tell you, I mean, there's several of them, but I don't know how many there was. But there was at least two, in the churches of Galatia. Okay? Now he calls them foolish Galatians. And sometimes people can be foolish, can't they? Have you ever been foolish before and spoke in such a fashion that was foolishness? We all have, I think. But the problem here is they as a church had drifted into foolishness, and it seems like it touched the entire church. So, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So, they didn't obey the what? They didn't obey the truth. Now, you're in bad, when a church doesn't obey the truth of Scripture, beloved, that's a bad place to be. So here in this text, that's the first, he jumps right on it here in chapter 3 and the verse 1 of the text. And he calls them foolish. It calls them foolish. And he said, who bewitched you? Who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, by whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? Now, he wasn't crucified in that area, but the people that had trusted in him and heard him speak at different times, it's just been a hard thing for them. So, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Crucified among you. This would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. How did you receive tonight, as I stand before you, I have received the Holy Spirit. I have received the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you trusted the gospel, you have the same thing too. But it says here in the text, is this only what I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. See, there's having trouble with the law again. When I'm talking about the law, what am I talking about? Somebody tell me. Ten Commandments. They was having trouble with the law. And you could understand that with the Jewish population, no doubt. It was around that particular area anyhow. So, he is giving them a warning in this particular text. This what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Now, just to get right down to it, the hearing of faith is how we were born again. The hearing of faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how a sinner person is saved, and that's how they're born again. And that's why it's so very important that God's people hear the gospel message and trust in Christ as their Savior. There's nothing any greater, and there's nothing any more important than that. So he said, receive ye the Spirit. Now, the day that I was born again, like I just mentioned to you, the day I was born again, the Holy Spirit took up his abode in my heart. Now, we always hit heart, but usually you're talking about your mind with regard to that. Really. As a man speaketh in his heart, so is he, for an example of that. So, the Spirit, he said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. When you're talking about the works of the law, you're basically talking about, like I said, back behind me up here, the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the commandments mainly is to show you you need a Savior. That's the main thing about the Ten Commandments. You can't be saved by them. If you could be saved that way, let me tell you something. If you could be saved that way, that's how it would have been. But the problem is the commandments, it's just too great for you. You can't keep them. When you're talking about the Ten Commandments, you not only break them by an act, but you also break them in your heart. So that's why you can't be saved by the commandments. You're always going to break a commandment. Now, if someone tells you that they're without sin, that means they're telling you that you never sin. And I want to tell you something. The Scripture says if someone says that, they're a liar and the truth's not in them. And that's so. Every one of us here sitting and standing all have sinned. And the Scripture says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And beloved, that's why we needed a Savior. The commandments couldn't save us. We broke them. We probably broke them all. And if you break one, and I imagine you broke more than one. If you break just one, you're guilty. And you need a what? Somebody tell me what you need. Boy, you need a Savior. A sinner person needs a Savior. And beloved, when I was born again, you know, the Bible says in sin, did my mother conceive me? In sin did my mother conceive. When I was, you know, I was a born sinner. I was born into sin. And then as I grew up, I continued to get worse and worse over time. What we need is a Savior. What we need is someone to pay our debt. That's what we need. And that's why we're here in Bancroft. And that's why we have radio broadcasts. And that's why we reach out, you know, to reach people so that they could hear the gospel. That's why we have a radio broadcast and all these things that we have. We got 3,000 sermons on sermon audio so that people can get on there and can hear different things about the gospel. But we also need to have our own outreach ourselves. All of us should reach out for people that are lost. Y'all agree? All of us should do it. Man, it's a... And we should never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. And man, when a church loses the vision of the salvation of the sinner, they lose their way. I love to see people born again. I love to see people saved and trust Christ as their Savior. You know what the greatest need for a sinner man? You know what the greatest need for a sinner man is? That they trust Jesus. You know the Scripture says in Romans 10:13, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if a sinner man hears that message and calls, says, "Lord, I want you to save my soul," what would you think he would do? He'd save you, wash you clean, and give you everlasting life. And that's what he does when he saves a person. And that's one of the reasons why, of course, that we are here. So, the Galatian church, it says in verse 2, "This would I learn of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law?" See, they're having trouble over the law again. Now, when I'm talking about the law again, who are we talking about? The Ten Commandments. They're having trouble with that. Purpose of the Ten Commandments isn't what saves you. It shows you you need to be saved. That's what the difference between the two. It shows you you need to be saved. When I witness to people, hey, beloved, when I witness to people, I take them right to the commandments. I mean, if you're going to tell somebody they need to be saved, you got to tell them why they need to be saved. And you need to be saved because you broke His law. And because you broke His law, you're living under a sin curse. So guess what you need? You need a substitute. Someone that will come in that's perfect. Hey, does any of you know any perfect people? I know one. I know one, and that's Jesus. And He paid my debt in full. And if you're here tonight and you're born again and you've asked Jesus to save you, what He does is He takes His righteousness and charges it again to your account. That's why you're born again, and that's why you're saved. That's what saves you. And there ain't nothing any greater than having that. You talk about something that makes you rich. Verse 2 makes you rich. "Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" The answer is by the hearing of faith. That's the only thing that can do it. The only thing that can. Now you can see, Apostle Paul, I think, is a little bit, when he reads the text, sometimes it seems like he's agitated. You can't hardly tell that. I don't know. But it says here in verse 3, "Are you so foolish?" That's what he says to him. It's verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit." Now, when the Galatians got saved, the Holy Spirit was the one that made them alive. Everybody got it? The Holy Spirit is the one that made them alive and saved their soul. So he says, "Are you so foolish? You begun in the Spirit." That's the Holy Spirit. The day I was born again, the Holy Spirit made me alive. And I realized that I was a sinner man. And I called on Jesus' name and He saved my soul. All God's people said. It's a wonderful thing. So, he says, "Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the Spirit, now you're going out to with the flesh?" Probably circumcision. Circumcision was a big problem with the Jewish people. So, they would make circumcision a means of salvation, and that's a false gospel. The only way you can have true salvation is by trusting Christ as your Savior, and then he gives you His righteousness and charges your sin to Him. That blows my mind when I just even have to say it. God loved me so much that He provided His own Son to pay my sin debt on Calvary. I mean, what is it? The old song, why does He love me so? I don't make no sense. Listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not worth that. But I want you to know something. My King put a great price on me. He put a great price on this old no good for nothing sinner man. And He saved me by His grace. I didn't earn my salvation. Jesus earned it and charged it to my account. One of these days, we're going to go to heaven. I don't know when it's going to be. I got a lot of good people up there. But one of these days, I'm going to go to heaven. And when they depict people in heaven, do y'all remember what color clothing they wear? White robes. There you have the white robes again. That means they've been washed clean from their sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Washed clean. White robes. Pays your debt in full. The old hymn, Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, God's people said, man. If that don't fire you up, your wood's wet. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world to be born again. I don't know how anybody can be happy without having eternal life. You never know when Jesus is going to come, and you don't know when you're going to die, do you? That's why you always have to be ready. Verse 4, I'm going to try to get to 18. You think I'll make it? 18? I'm on 4 now, Bertha. Okay. And so, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by your flesh? And the answer, no. You can't make yourself perfect by the flesh. The only way you can be made perfect in the eyes of the Lord, it's by His imputed righteousness on you. Have you suffered so many things in vain? You see, Paul was agitated. When you read Galatians, it agitates him. It says, are you so foolish? I don't know if I've ever said that from the pulpit before, but boy, he did. He really laid it out there. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, now you're going out here trying to make yourself perfect by your flesh? You can see he's agitated. You can see in the text that you can feel it that he's agitated. Because you're not saved by your flesh. You're not saved by your flesh. We're saved by His grace. That's what saves us. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? I mean, they went through a lot of different hardships, I guess, is what he's talking about in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Are you, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit. Now, when I'm talking about the Spirit, what's the text talking about? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does when He saves a sinner is He opens your heart, like I've already said. He opens your understanding. And He kind of draws you to Him. That's what He does. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If yet in vain, He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and he works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, what's the big problem with the text? The works of the law on one side, the hearing of faith on the other side. Kind of a division-like. Kind of division-like. There was those there that sought to, I believe, follow the Ten Commandments. Followed the law. Trusted in the law. Trusted. Now, if you trust in the law, you're trusting in all your deeds, right? Can all your deeds save you? No. If all your deeds could save you, you'd have never needed a Savior to start with. So, that's what he talks about in the text. He that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, what's the answer? The hearing of faith. Beloved, you want to know what saved me? You want to know what saved me? Faith. Believing. Trusting in Jesus. I didn't save myself. I think a lot of people think they saved themselves. You didn't save yourself. The Holy Spirit opens your heart. The Holy Spirit opens your mind. And the Holy Spirit draws you to Him. He's the one that does it. You don't do it. You can't take credit for what God does. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that does that. I was dead in sin, and the Lord quickened me, and He made me alive. Spiritually. Before I was born again, I want to tell you what it was. I was a spiritual corpse. And you know what God did? He made me alive. Yeah, He changed my heart. And who done that for me? It's the Spirit of God. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. You won't have a saved sinner without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you alive. He's the one that draws you. He's the one that calls you. He's the one that does that. The Scripture says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it can happen. So who gets the glory for the salvation? Yeah, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does it. We sing a song here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Been a long time since we sung it. You remember it? You don't remember it? Yeah, it's been a while, but we used to sing that old song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And that's what church is about. You come in, you worship, you hear the Scriptures. You pray for lost souls that might be here. You pray that the Lord would touch people. It's a wonderful thing. All right, verse 5. He that therefore ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer to that? By the law or what else? It's faith. That's how the Lord saves. He saves by faith. Believing. Verse 6. Now here's a big one. One of the fathers of the Jewish nation, Abraham. What they called him Father Abraham, different places. Even Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted. And what's counted mean? Imputed. He imputed Christ's righteousness to you. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus and don't understand salvation, here's what you need to understand. When Jesus died on Calvary, He died and rose again. And that's called the gospel message. That's what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. Now, in order for a sinner man or a woman to be saved, boy or girl, then they must trust that message. Sometimes I go to hospital beds and talk to people about their souls or houses and things of that nature. And when that happens, most generally what the family wants from me is they say, Will you go there and see if they're all right? Well, I'm glad to do it. I do it anytime anybody asks me. I'm glad to do it, you know. And then I go there and I tell them about Christ. Tell them about Jesus. How He lived and how He died and how He was rose again the third day. Tell them about the gospel and all those kinds of things. So Abraham believed God, and the word accounted means imputed. That's the meaning of the word. He imputes to him righteousness. You look in the book of Revelations, and people that are in heaven there have them white robes on. Remember? That pictures the righteousness of Christ. And that's how, hey, listen to me. That's what gets you there. That's what gets you there. He pays your debt. He pays your debt on Calvary. And then He charges your debts, your sin, to Jesus. And He paid that debt in full. Why did He do it for me? Why did He do it for you? He loved you. That's why He did it. It's the greatest thing you could ever... It's the greatest thing a person can ever have is this. Stay with me. All right? Verse 9. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now let's stop here. See where it says under the curse? Everybody say under the curse. So if you're seeking to save yourself by the Ten Commandments up here, you ain't going to make it. You're already a lawbreaker. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we need is a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And that's why He died for me on Calvary's cross, was to pay my debt. Because I was a sinner man, just like anybody else was. And the day that I asked the Lord to save my soul, He gave me everlasting, eternal life. It's the greatest thing a person can ever have is eternal life. So, verse 9, so then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They that be of faith. How was Abraham saved? Somebody tell me. Saved by faith. Hey, how was Jeff Arthur saved? Faith. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I say. Henny, how was you saved? Faith. Believing in Him. You can't save yourself. The only way you can be saved is trust Christ as your Savior. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Stay with me now. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law. Now we're talking about the law again. What are we talking about? Ten Commandments, right? Has all of us broke the... Hey, has everybody here tonight broke the law? Everybody. Everybody. So you know what that renders for us? We need something. You know what we need? We need a Savior. We need some to pay the. We need someone that is perfect. Do you know any perfect people? One. Who is it? Jesus. He gives you His righteousness. That's what gets you. And that's the only thing that can. Not only that, but you owed Him condemnation because of it, because of our sin. We owed condemnation because of our sin. Guess what He did? Guess what He did? He took my place. And He paid my debt. And He paid it in full. That's what He did. That's being saved. That's what salvation is all about. That's what people need. The greatest riches in this world is having everlasting eternal life. Verse 10. I think I'll stop at verse 10. I got so much to do here. But I'm just going to go down to verse 10. So then, they which are faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see that in verse 9? So then, they which are of faith. Now, is that talking about us? Are we of faith? Yeah, we which are of faith. Who are we blessed with? Faithful Abraham. Hey, how was Abraham saved? Abraham believed in God. And His righteousness was imputed to Him. And that's how the Lord saves a sinner person. That's the only way it happens. That's the only way it's done. That's the only way it can be. For as many of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are... Now I want you to look how... I got to stop at 10. Make me stop at... Throw a brook if I don't stop at 10. Throw your cane. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? There's a curse we talk about. To get that curse, all you have to commit is one sin, one evil thought. I imagine everybody here, everybody here tonight has broke God's law. That's why we needed a substitute. That's why we needed a Savior that was perfect. For as many as rather the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's about like saying, you're not saved by your works. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Them Ten Commandments can't save you. If they could, listen to me. Salvation would have been that way. It required the sacrifice of one that is perfect. And there's only been one. And that's Jesus. And He put Himself, listen. And He put Himself in our place. And He paid our debt. And He paid it in full. All God's people said. All right, I better stop or I might go another hour or so.